ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. వివేక చూడామణి శ్లోక 253. యత్ర భ్రాంత్యా కల్పితం తద్వివేకే తత్సన్మాత్రం నైవ తస్మాత్ విభిన్నం. స్వప్నే నష్టే స్వప్న విశ్వం విచిత్రం స్వస్మాత్ భిన్నం కిన్ను దృష్టం ప్రబోధే. సో దిస్ ఈస్ ది లాస్ట్ శ్లోక ఆఫ్ మహావాక్య విచార, as we mentioned in the last webinar itself. So Shankaracharya, he points out here, యత్ర భ్రాంత్యా కల్పితం తద్వివేకే తత్ తన్మాత్రం భవతి. సో ది మెథడ్ ఆఫ్ వేదాంత ఇస్ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ హియర్. వేదాంత డస్ నాట్ డైరెక్ట్లీ నెగేట్ ద వర్ల్డ్. ఇట్ యూసెస్ ద మెథడ్ ఆఫ్ అధ్యారోప అండ్ అపవాద. అపవాద న్యాయ, వి హవ్ మెన్షన్డ్ అబౌట్ దిస్ ఇయర్. సో ఫస్ట్ యూ అక్సెప్ట్ ద వర్ల్డ్, బికాస్ నెగేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద వర్ల్డ్ ఇస్ నాట్ ఈజీ అట్ ఆల్. And even great philosophers, they do not accept the negation of the world. It is not easy. On the other hand, if the teacher goes on negating the world, the student, instead of negating the world, what he will do? He might start negating the teacher himself. So the teacher knows. So what does he do now? Initially, at the adhyaropa time, the world is accepted. Like accepting the pot, the clay pot analogy. Accepting the pot, that is the first stage. And then in the next stage, the Advaitin, he introduces Brahman as the second entity, so that the student, he will not resist. If I add one more thing, if I negate all the things only, he will get upset. So you keep all those, but add one more thing, you call it God or Brahman or whatever, or consciousness. So it is like introducing the clay in addition to the pot. Then the student has a strong notion that there are now two things, that is the clay and the pot. Clay, which the teacher has introduced, and the pot, which I am associated with all the time. The student is associated with the pot all the time. And the teacher also, temporarily, he accepts this, even though he knows that clay alone is there. Teacher knows this. So he accepts temporarily. He accepts the duality of clay and pot, world and Brahman, Karya and Karana. He accepts the duality of all of them initially. May you do a viveka of the Brahman and the world, and that's what he tells the student. So he temporarily accepts it first and then tells the student, can we do a viveka analysis? Viveka means the discriminative study or the atma anatma viveka. Deha Dehi Viveka, Jagat Brahma Viveka, all those. So I will say that we have got two things now. One is clay and the other is pot. And our orientation is what? As many words are there, there are so many objects. That is our orientation. We already gave the example of taking the inventory sometime back. So we conclude there are two, God and the world, clay and the pot and so on. So on inquiry, I come to know clay and pot are two words only. There is no substance called pot separate from the clay. So this is the outcome of our analysis, our inquiry. Then pot loses its substantiality on inquiry. It simply becomes, this also we said earlier, vacharambana vikaraha namadeyam, namadeyam matram it is. Simply a word for transaction only. So it has got a transactional reality, not a substance at all. And once I know this, I don't want to count pot as number two. While counting the substance, I count the clay, but I don't count the pot whatsoever. So what happens? Pot has got discounted. Pot gets discounted. It means what? It becomes mithya. Swamiji says that is why we can understand that all discounts, you know, the discounts for that day, Independence Day, this, that and all, Thanksgiving discount, all those things we get from all the shops, they are only mithya. They jack up the price and give a discount and we are so happy it is 30%, 40%, 50% off and all that. So you started with thought, at that clay was not there in mind at that time, but you ended up with clay at the end after analysis. And we dismissed what? We dismissed the pot. Similarly, we accept the world first. Introduce then Brahman. Hold on to Brahman and then make the world as non-substantial, and that is this method. And that Brahman is nothing but my own self. Therefore, I am the only one which is countable as an entity. I means what? Not this body, not the mind or even the intellect. I mean only what? The consciousness alone which is worthy of counting. All others are all discounts only, cannot be counted. So the whole world is a discount given by whom? By the Lord. The Lord has given the whole world the discount. Now, when you look at the shloka now, yatra bhrantya kalpitam. Suppose there are two things. One is satyam and the other is mithya. Like the clay and pot, the rope and snake, waker and dream. Suppose there are two things like that. One is satyam and the other is bhrantya kalpitam. So yatra refers to the adhishtana. So adhishtane bhrantya kalpitam. Sadviveke, when you sort out this pair, when you do the analysis, inquiry on them, this satya mithya pair, viveke sati, what will happen? Tat matram, that adhishtanam alone remains. That adhishtanam alone remains. So bhrantya kalpitam will be discounted, whatever was created by bhranti, that is discounted by viveka after analysis. Exactly like what? Like the dream. In dream, whatever I see after viveka, I do not take them into the account at all. If I, for example, earned $1 million in dream, I cannot take even a single cent out of that $1 million because there is no dream other than the waker. So, tat matram, adhishtana matram asti. Adhishtana vetirikta adhyastam nasti. There is nothing other than the adhishtanam, namely the satyam, the consciousness. And when we say nasti, it is not there. What do we mean? We don't negate the experience. This is very, very important. The Advaitin's negation is very peculiar. It is not like other negation. When we negate the world, we do not negate the experience of the world. Many philosophers, they have misunderstood Advaita, thinking that we are negating the experience of the world also. And then they ask the question, after negating the world, why are you teaching Vedanta still? Because you negated the world. Because to teach Vedanta, minimum you have to have what? You have to have at least some students. Therefore, jagat pratitihi na nishiddhaye. So, nishiddhita jagataha svatam satta nishiddhate. So, jagat pratitihi na nishiddhate. Jagataha svatam satta nishiddhate. The factuality, the substantiality of the world, that alone is negated, but not the experience, nor the experienceability of the world. Swamiji uses all kinds of words. So exactly like what? When I say I negate the sunrise, I am not the negating the experience of sunrise. Even after negating sunrise, sun will rise experientially for me. So negation is in terms of wisdom, not in terms of experience. Therefore, tatan matram tasmat vibhinnam vishvam nasti. There is no world separate from vibhinnam vishvam. No world separate from, here it is not actually the world. There is no, you know, adhyastam, kalpita vastu. So, other than the adhishtanam. Adhishtanam is the Chaitanya. There is nothing else other than that. Here, in the first two lines, the Acharya is generalizing so that there is no kalpita vastu separate from the adhishtanam. Adhishtana means Brahman. Later we have to apply the general rule to any particular thing, including the universe. So tasmat, other than the Adhishtanam, the namely the Paramatman or whatever it is, Brahman, Vibhinnam Vastu, a separate entity, is not there, nasti. And what is the example he is giving? Vichitram Swapna Vishwam Swapne. The dream universe, Swapna Vishwam, which is experienced in dream, Swapne, that is Nashtam, that is gone. When? Prabodhe, on waking up. So once you wake up, the dream universe is gone. Prabodhe Sati, Swapne Drishtam, Swapna Vishwam, Nashtam Bhavati. On waking, the dream world disappears. And what type of dream world it is? Vichitram Vishwam, which is a wonderful thing, as wonderful as this Jagat, this Prapancha. That dream world also is as wonderful as this Jagat. There also there is Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, all of them are there in dream also. There also there is music, there is dance, there is working, there is salary, there is children, there is marriage, everything is there. In fact, whatever we experience here, we experience in the dream world also. Not only that, that is capable of giving joy also to me. People say, I had a beautiful dream last night. I saw Lord Shiva in my dream. He's so happy. They don't say it is a dream Shiva. They say, I saw Shiva. I am certainly very happy. Which means what? The dream is capable of giving sukha dukkham also. But in spite of all these, I discount all these as mithya. Whatever is in the dream, I discount all of them as mithya. And what is the reason for that? Prabodhe swasmat binnam drishtam kim. On waking, do you see the dream world as separate from you? Having an existence independent of you? We don't. So we don't see. That is why if you are rescuing someone, for example, who has fallen into a well or something in the dream, and in the process of rescuing, you woke up. Then do you sit and worry, I have not saved this person later? What would happen to that person? So let me go to the dream again and go and rescue him again. If you close the eyes again, you will get maybe some other dream, but not that dream where you went to rescue this person from a well. You need not get back to the same person again because he doesn't exist. There is no need to save him. Yasakshat kurute prabodha samayem swatmanam evadvayam. Dakshinamurti sutram again. But only one difference here we have to note. As we have said, you know, whenever we give an example, this is the problem with most people. Whenever we give an example, between the example and the original, there are certain common features. That is why we give it as an example. But remember, between the example and the original, there are many uncommon features also. And we should never apply the example with respect to the uncommon features. That is a mistake done by several philosophers even when they argue against Advaita. They take every one of the examples and choose very meticulously, perhaps, what? The uncommon features, and they ask, how is it like this? What the Advaitan he does? He doesn't try to explain, he just smiles and leaves. That's what he does. So what is the difference between the dream example and this? We said that Brahmajnanam also is another form of waking up. Brahmajnanam is also another type of waking up. Dream is falsified when you wake up once. When we wake up, dream gets falsified, and the waking, that jagrati, that state itself is falsified the second time when you gain jnanam. So at the time of wisdom, the waking is falsified. At the time of waking, dream is falsified. And what is the difference here? So that's a very, very important difference. When you woke up from dream, dream is falsified and the dream experience also goes away. This is a very important difference. When you wake up, dream is falsified. Along with that, the dream experience also goes away, it disappears. But the second waking up in Brahmajnanam, this world is falsified, all right, but this experience of the world, it does not disappear, it continues. It continues. So with respect to the continuity of the experience, the dream example will not suit. So you cannot accept, you cannot try to extrapolate to this uncommon feature. The dream example is only to understand this much. And what is that? Both are falsified. Only that much. And if one wants to know about the continuity of experience, even after falsifying the world, then we have to change the example. And what is the example? We have given the sunrise example, wherein even after knowing that sun does not rise, I continue to have the pratiti. I still experience sunrise every day. Even after knowing that the earth is round, which is, what is my experience? It is flat. Even after knowing earth is moving very fast, what is my experience? It is stationary. So therefore, a particular experience can continue even after gaining the knowledge against it. There is no harm. Similarly, the Dvaita Pratiti continues even after Advaita Jnana. This is the important difference between the two examples. But one consolation is what? Dvaita Pratiti, that is experience, cannot disturb Advaita Jnana. Sunrise experience does not disturb my knowledge that sun does not rise. Knowledge cannot be disturbed by a different experience. The scientists, they know that this non-tangible energy, what is this whole world? It is nothing but non-tangible energy. But what do I experience? I experience tangible matter. Experience of tangible matter does not disturb the knowledge that everything is nothing but non-tangible energy. Why? Because of my knowledge of science is thorough. Thus, experience will continue. With regard to this, dream experience should not be extended. We have to be careful. That is why we have got two words, that's called sadharmyam and vaidharmyam. These are two words in Sanskrit, sadharmyam and vaidharmyam. Between example and the original, there are always sadharmyam, common features. Sadharmyam means common features. And vaidharmyam, uncommon features, both are there. Never look for the uncommon, always look for the common features. That is the purpose of the example. Why? Because that is a function. Because, therefore, he says, prabodesati, on waking up, the dream disappears. And the dream does not exist separate from me, from the waker. Therefore, what is the Vedantic teaching now? The essence of Vedantic teaching in the simplest form is what? I am the only reality. And everything else other than me, they got a lesser order of reality. We already talked about this lesser order of reality and higher order of reality. And the greatest advantage of this is what? Everyone, everything of a lesser reality is available for experience. It is a free channel, for example. You know, we have got so many channels in our, you know, TV and all. It's a free channel. So the Lord has given us two channels. The wonderful experience of the world. But since the world is of a lesser order of reality, I experience the world, but the world cannot touch me. Touch me, when we say, what me? Not the body me, not the mind me, but the Atma me. So experience it and simultaneously be free also. Experience the world and simultaneously be free also. It is like what? Watching a movie or a TV show, a TV program. You can switch off also the TV. You are disconnected. So Aham Satyam Jagan Mithya Tasmat Aham Nitya Muktaha Asmi. I am ever liberated. This is the essence of Vedantic teaching, which Shankaracharya concludes in Shloka 253. So with this, the Vedanta part is over. So if somebody wants to learn Vedanta only part from Viveka Chudamani, that study is over right now with this shloka. Now we are going to enter a totally into a different aspect of the Vedantic sadhana from the next shloka, Shloka 254. Let us see, Shloka 254. ಜಾತಿ ನೀತಿ ಕುಲ ಗೋತ್ರ ದೂರಗಂ ನಾಮ ರೂಪ ಗುಣ ದೋಷ ವರ್ಜಿತಂ ದೇಶ ಕಾಲ ವಿಷಯಾತಿ ವರ್ತಿಯತ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ತತ್ವಮಸಿ ಭಾವಯಾತ್ಮನಿ. So as we said with the previous shloka, shloka 253, the Vedantic teaching is over. In fact, the process is called Shravana. Up to this, the process is called Shravana. So if a person does the Shravanam properly, under a proper Acharya, the Shravanam is capable of giving the clear knowledge that Aham Brahma Asmi. So in fact, Jnanam part of it is over. And what type of jnanam? It is not paroksha jnanam. This knowledge is aparoksha jnanam, because paroksha jnanam is what? Is indirect knowledge of a remote object. That is paroksha jnanam. It's an indirect knowledge of a remote object. The Upanishad has talked about Brahman. In what way? How far it is? Brahman, how the Upanishad talked about it? Tattvamasi Prashantam, Amalam, it talked about all that. The Upanishad has never presented Brahman as a remote object at all, any time. Therefore, there is no question of indirect knowledge of Brahman. There is no Paroksha Jnanam at all, but is intimately available as ever evident consciousness. Therefore, Brahma Jnanam is Paroksham or Aparoksham. So if you ask the question, it is aparoksha jnanam, because Brahman is evident. When? Let us not answer that question, but we have to ask a counter question. Tell me when the Brahman is not evident. Jagrat swapna sushuptishu sputatarayam samvit ujrumbate. And therefore, if jnanam is clearly revealed, received, it is aparoksha jnanam only. Direct knowledge. And if aparoksha jnanam is clearly received, a student will never ask for Brahman experience at all. Any student who asks the Brahman experience, that means what? He has not listened properly. Because the very teaching is what? Brahman is not experienced as an end product of your effort. Every other experience is an end product of an operation, for example. There is only one experience which is not an end product of any operation, the consciousness. Consciousness is the one thing which is experienced all the time without requiring any particular operation. And the Shruti is revealing that as ever evident consciousness as Brahman. Then where the question of struggling of or working for Brahman experience, Brahma Anubhava. Therefore, any attempt for Brahma Anubhava, Brahman experience, that indicates inadequacy of Shravanam. So Brahma Jnanam is attained by Shravanam, and that is the ever evident consciousness, I am Brahman, so it is over. That knowledge is over. Now what? It's all done. For this Brahma Jnanam, Shastra promises certain phalam. If somebody gains this knowledge, the Shastra promises certain phalam, which together is called Jivan Mukti. And this is presented actually in the Shastra and Bhagavad Gita as Dukkeshu Anudvignamanaha Sukeshu Vigataspriha Vitaragabaya Krodaha Sitadir Sitadir Sumuniruchyate. So this is what Krishna said. Yes, sarvatra anavisneha tattat prapya shubhashubham nabhinandadina dveshti tasya prajna pratishtita. So freedom from attachment, hatred, jealousy, anger, sense of fulfillment, contentment, these are all things, they are all pointed out now. So there are some people who discover the jnana palam simultaneously with jnanam. That is freedom from all ragadvesha, contentment, all those things. Some people, they gain it immediately after jnanam. They do it immediately for some people, for some others. There are who discover the jnanam, but the jnana palam seems to elude them. They don't get the jnana palam. That means what? they claim and they seem to understand the teaching very well, but still they say, I don't have peace of mind. I don't experience the jnana phalam. So if one does not experience the jnana phalam, then there is some obstacle. Otherwise, you would have experienced jnana phalam also. So there is a gap between jnanam and jnana phala anubhavaha. So what is required for now? One has to gain the jnana phala anubhava. How? By removing the obstacles which stand in between jnanam and jnana phala anubhava. And the rest of the Vivek Chudamani, that deals with the obstacle removal for jnana phala anubhava. So that is the topic that is going to be in the discussion with the rest of Vivek Chudamani. Not for Brahma anubhava, be careful. One has to be careful. There is no question of Brahma anubhava. The following portion is only for removing the obstacles for the sake of jnana phala anubhava. And the obstacles are two levels. One is at the intellectual level itself and the other is at the psychological or emotional level. And both types of obstacles have to be removed if the jnana phala has to be enjoyed. That is going to be the topic from now on. And the following 10 shlokas, they have got the uniform fourth line. Brahma tattva masi bhavayatmani. That is the fourth line of the shlokas. It is going to be common for the next, all these 10 shlokas. Actually, it seems these are the favorite portions of Swami Chinmayananda. The first three lines, they define Brahman in every shloka. In all these 10 shlokas, first three lines, they define Brahman. And Shankaracharya says, Tat Tvam Asi. This wonderful Brahman, which is sorrowless, Brahman, no problems and all that thing. Name Dvesha Ragav, Name Loba Mohav, Mado Naiva, Me Naiva, Matsariya Bhavaha. Nirvana Shatkam. Acharya says, and the biggest obstacle is what? Sliding between Atma and Anatma. For some time when I say, I mean the Atma. But for some other times, when I say I mean the body. So Shankaracharya says, why are you confusing yourself? Why are you dilly-dallying? Tatvamasi. You are that witness of all these things. And if you are not able to be steady in this knowledge, then bhavaya, dwell upon this until it sinks into you permanently. Go on dwelling on this knowledge till it sinks into you completely, permanently. So, mananam and nididhyasanam, that should be done. All the doubts have to be removed. And then I have to make it as part of me through nididhyasanam. So, this dwelling that is called bhavanam here, mano nigraha, dhyanam, Vedantic meditation, all those things. So, bhavaya. And you have to dwell on what? The very teaching. Whatever the teacher taught, that alone has to be dwelled upon. And both parts of teaching, that is important. One has to be clear. I am Chaitanyam also is important, that knowledge. In fact, more important than Chaitanyam is what? The teaching is, I am not the body. I am not the mind. I am not even the Karana Shariram. All of them are mithya. They are all non-substantial entity. That is the knowledge. So both has to be known. I am Chaitanyam should be known. I am not the body. Mind complex also should be known. So Jagan Mithyatvam should be meditated upon more than Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Satyatvam. The Mithyatvam of the world, that should be meditated upon more than even the Satyatvam of Aham. Because all our worries are only what? They are mithyas, one mithya aspect or the other. Any worry, any anger, any jealousy, any hatred, they are all directed towards one mithya object or the other. Ajam sarvam anusmritya jatam naivatu pasyati. Gaudapada, very beautifully he says that one should not see the world at all. That means what? It is as good as not there. Naivatu pasyati. Just as the table is not there when I focus on the wood. There is no ornament other than gold. There is no furniture other than wood. So bhavaya, dwell. Where? Atmani, in the mind, dwell in the mind. Atma means here, antakarana, our mind, the inner equipment. Atma is not Sachidananda Atma, it is antakaranam, the mind. Because dwelling upon the teaching is a form of thought process only. When we say dwell upon the teaching, what do we mean? It is a thought process only. Therefore, bhavana means vritti pravaha, thought flow. Vritti is thought flow. And thought flow happens where? Mind or in Atma? It is in the mind. So bhavanam is thought flow occurring in the mind. Therefore, Vedantic meditation that requires mind. Vedantic meditation requires mind. Don't transcend the mind. Keep it. And don't stop the thoughts also. Entertain the thoughts. Stopping the thoughts is yoga form of meditation. Because there are all these yoga form of meditation. There they have got, you know, dhyana, dharana, samadhi, all those things, you know, which we don't approve of. Advaitins don't approve of. Shankaracharya, he clearly tells, yogic meditation has to, you know, culminate in cessation of thoughts. Whereas Vedantic meditation does not culminate in the cessation of thoughts, but is the flow of Vedantic thoughts alone. That is Vedantic meditation. And the flow itself is graded as dharana, dhyana and samadhi. In dharana, I entertain the Vedantic thought. Mano buddhya hankara chittani naham. So that bringing the mind to the Vedantic field is dharana. And then trying to continue that flow is called dhyanam. And how do I do that? By not allowing other thoughts to interrupt this flow. Vijadiya pratyayam. So, vijadiya pratyayam anantaritam and sajadiya pratyaya pravahaha. So, similar thought flow should be there, unobstructed by dissimilar thoughts. For example, I say, I am nityaha, shuddaha, buddhaha, muktaha. And also if I say, I am a pauper. Then there is no. We should have similar thoughts. Not even same thoughts are needed. That is, nitya can be changed to buddha shuddha, or asangaha, or adhishtana, or satyam. They are all similar thoughts. But dissimilar thought is what? I am a pauper. I am a human being. I am so much. This, that, all that thing. Thoughts can change, but they all should be centered on Atma. That is similar thoughts. So if anatma vritti comes, if those thoughts come, it becomes vijatiya vritti. So sajatiya vritti is allowed, vijatiya vritti is not. And this flow is called dhyanam. So we have got now dharana and then dhyanam. We continue that thought flow, that is called dharana. Okay. And if that flow becomes, flow of thought, that becomes effortless. I don't have to use my will and effort at all. It is absorbed in that. There is no distraction. That becomes impossible. I am totally absorbed. Then we use an expression. In general parlance, we normally say, you are lost in your thoughts. In general parlance, common parlance. You yourself have merged, lost to yourself in the object of your thoughts. But generally, we are lost in thoughts means what? We mostly worry. That is what generally we do. In Vedanta, lost in thought is called samadhi. Lost in Vedantic thought is absorption. It is not unknown to us. We have all gone through dharana, dhyana and samadhi in all the anatma vishaya. In day-to-day life, we have gone through all of them. For example, when you watch a movie, or even a cricket match or something. At the climax of the movie, people cry, they are one with the characters. They are just lost. And same thing, when the last ball is there, you know, there was some movie, Lagan or something. There is only one ball and they need 6 runs. And that guy hits 6 runs at the same time. At that one particular ball. Then everybody is so absorbed in that thought. So they are lost in that particular thing. So this dharana, dhyana, samadhi, that abhyasa, that is called, otherwise called atma samyama. It is called atma samyama or mano nigraha. It is, that is here prescribed as what? Atmani bhavaya. So when they say atmani bhavaya, so may you practice this. And what is the nature of Brahman? As we said, every shloka defines Brahman in the first three lines. That's what we said earlier. So here, the nature of Brahman is also described first three lines. Jati, Niti, Kula, Gotra, Durakam. We will not elaborate these things because these concepts are, they have been already taught in the first 253 shlokas. All those things were dealt with in great detail. Brahman or Atma is free from Jati. Jati is what? Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. So they belong to Atma or Shariram, all these Jati. They belong only to the body. Even Sukshma Shariram does not have Jati. Only the grass body has Jati. Sukshma Shariram even does not have Jati. What to talk about Atma? Then Niti. Niti is Dharma, Adharma. They belong to the Karta. Karta is Ahankara. Because dharma is proper action and adharma is improper action. They all belong to whom? The actor, the karta. And Brahman is what? Brahman is akarta. Therefore, anyatra dharmat, anyatra adharmat. So, no niti for atma at all. Then kulam. Kulam means family. There is no senior Brahman, junior Brahman, child Brahman, father Brahman, none of those. Then what gotram Brahman belongs to? There is no gotra for Atma also. We only, when somebody asks who you are, you know, even you say you are Abhivadaya, you are Pravaram, we say that Kashyapa gotra, Bharatvaja gotra, that gotra, this gotra. Brahman has no gotram. And Durakam, they are all far away from Brahman. All the Jati, Nuniti, Kula, Kugotra, they are all far away from Brahman. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Dosha, Varjitam. It is free from name, Nama, form, Rupa, Gunaha, virtues or, and Dosha, vices. So positive and negative attributes, virtues and vices. Brahman is neither good nor bad. Guna, Dosha, Varjitam. And desha kala vishaya ativarti, which is beyond, which transcends ativarti. What? Desha, kala and vishaya. Desha is space, kala is time, and vishaya is object. It does not have any of them. Desha paricheda, kala paricheda, and vastu paricheda, which is vastu paricheda means attribute wise limitation. Desha Paricheda is space-wise limitation. And Kala Paricheda is time-wise limitation. All these three are not there. And that is Brahman. And don't admire that Brahman. Oh, it is something so nice. It is not for admiration at all. Tat Tvam Asi. Own up that glory of that Brahman. It is not something to be admired elsewhere. It is you. I admire you. You are that. Drop all those complexes. Enjoy that glory. But he says, for people, what he says, instead of all that, the person, I have knee pain. Knee is you. Knee means what? The knee that you have is you. Knee in Tamil, knee also. Swami very nicely says this. Knee in Tamil means you. So knee, K-N-E-E, knee is you only, the knee. So knee pain will be there. Prarabdha will be there. It has to be exhausted through something or the other. So let them be exhausted. Knee pain also has to be exhausted. So tat tvam asi atmani bhavaya. Sit in a place and dwell on this teaching and enjoy this glory so that during the day-to-day transaction also this will be there. It will be ever with you. That's what the teacher tells. Shloka 255. Yat param sakala vaga gocharam, gocharam vimala bodha chakshushaham, shuddha chidghana manadi vastu yad, బ్రహ్మతత్వమసి భావయాత్మని. Again, here also, the first three lines, they are defining Brahman. Yat Param. Brahman is Param. Beyond the empirical world, that which is not a relative entity is Param. Whatever is not a relative entity, that is Param. So, the word Param has got different meanings. We have seen in another context also. Another meaning is called, what? Desha Kala Vastu Paricheda Shunyam. We have seen this definition also earlier, that which is free from the threefold limitations caused by time, space, and attributes. That which is limitless space-wise, time-wise, and attribute-wise. Then Sakala Vak Agocharam. It is beyond all description. Vak. Vak means either organ of speech or the words. Both are Vak. And Agocharam means indescribable. Then the question is, if it is indescribable, why should the scriptures write so many words? And the teacher is also going on conducting classes after classes for this. And you keep saying it is indescribable. For that, the Vedantin answers, it is not directly describable, but can be indirectly communicated. Saying without saying, that's what it means. We have seen so many examples before. When there are two people standing and I tell one of them, you please come with me. That means what? The other person, without my saying, he understands that he is not invited. I am not supposed to go. Or if you, there are two children, you glorify one of them. This boy is very intelligent. Then the other boy, he gets upset. Why? Without telling that he is not intelligent, you have already communicated that thought to him without saying in words, because there is not an unsaid idea. So he is not intelligent. That's what we have communicated. Similarly, here also, Brahman can be communicated indirectly by negating the whole objective world. Neti neti vachanaihi. So nisheda mukha pramana, pramanena. We have seen these terms earlier. The Upanishad negates everything. And the intelligent student, he understands. He doesn't have to be separately told. And what is left behind? That is called Nisheda Avadihi. After everything is negated, what remains is unnegatable. This unnegatable reminder, that is Brahman, which I reveal without using words. And therefore, it can be only indirectly revealed. Therefore, it is Shabda Agocharam. So, it is Vaga Gocharam. Then, Gocharam Vimala Bodha Chakshushaha. Even though it is not accessible to words, still, when the indirect description is given, an intelligent student, he will grasp the idea. Because a dull student requires direct description. Whereas an intelligent student will know the implication of the description and therefore he will directly grasp. And that is called Bodha Chakshuhu or Jnana Chakshuhu, the eye of wisdom. And what is that wisdom? Aham Brahma Asti. I am that Brahman. So for this eye of wisdom, Bodha Chakshuhu, which is Vimalam, which is pure, Malam, Vimalam, which is pure, it is accessible to the eye of clear knowledge or clear understanding. What is purity of wisdom now? Purity of wisdom. The impurity in any knowledge is doubt, is error and vagueness. They are all impurities. Error. Error is what? Wrong understanding is one type of impurity. Another is doubt or vagueness, because several people say different things. There is this Visishta Dvaita, there is Dvaita, there is Advaita interpretations of the same Upanishad. And of course, there is, so all these people, each one, I don't have the ability to sort them out. And all those Acharyas, they are all great Acharyas also. What to do then? Can I say all of them are right? I cannot, because they are teaching diagonally opposite things. You cannot even say they all of them are right. So, there is no way of reconciliation also. Certainly, I have to reject others. And if I don't have the guts to reject or the power or the intellectual ability to do that, I should not have emotional attachment to a system. Then knowledge cannot take place. If one has emotional attachment to a system, knowledge cannot take place. The most important virtue of a student is what? Freedom from emotional hang-ups to a person or to a system or to a sampradaya for a Vedantic student. We should be ruthless when it comes to knowledge. I should not accept just because Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya told this. I should be able to use my own discretion and accept or reject others, of course, after learning very well and also taking the direction from teacher and all that, which is called Uha Apoha Vichakshanam. We have seen this usage also long before. The capacity to sort out, Uha Apoha. And if I don't have that intellectual sharpness and honesty, and if only I have emotional attachment to all these people also, then I will try to somehow connect them. It is trying to connect the bald head and the kneecap. Both are bald, so you can connect them. No, trying to connect like that. And that is not Vimala Bodha, but it is Sadiha. So it is not a pure knowledge. So for the Vimala Bodha Chakshuhum, for the eye of wisdom, Gocharam, Brahman is accessible to the eye of wisdom only, which is represented symbolically by the third eye, Jnana Chakshuhu. Shiva is believed to have the third eye, with which he burnt Manmatha. Manmatha is Kama, Kama Dahanam. They are all philosophical symbolism. Kama is personified as Manmatha. That represents our desires born out of what? Our desires born out of Apurnatvam, which represents ignorance. My limitation is ignorance, which can be burnt by wisdom only, and that is Jnana Chakshuhu. So Vimala Bodha Chakshuhu is actually a Sashti Vibhakti. So Tasya Gocharam. Then Shuddha Chidganam. Brahman is a mass of pure awareness without sajatiya, vijatiya, swagada, beta. It is simply like space like consciousness it is. From that also it is clear that our scriptures do not look upon consciousness as a part of the body or product of the body or even property of the body. We have seen all those concepts earlier. It is the basic substance itself. That is why the word used here is ghanam. It is a mass of consciousness. That is the basic stuff of creation. And when did this consciousness come? The materialist scientists, what they say? From matter, consciousness emerged. It is an emergent property. It is the scientific view of consciousness. But what is the Shastraic view? Anadi vastu it is. Beginningless entity, matter manifests and dissolves into consciousness. Consciousness does not evolve out of matter. And that anadi vastu is consciousness or Brahman. And just to merely appreciate that Brahman, that's all you do. But remember, tattvamasi. Because in Chandogya Upanishad, the teacher tells this thing 9 times, tattvamasi. That is why Shankaracharya, perhaps, you know, he tries to imitate Chandogya Upanishad here, the teacher. So, Uddalaka Sweta Ketu Samvada. That's a very beautiful section in Chandogya Upanishad. So, Tattvamasi is taught 9 times again and again. Iti Bhavaya Atmani. May you meditate in your mind. Tattvamasi. Shloka 256. Shadbirurmi bhir ayogi yogi hrit. Bhavitam nakaranair vibhavitam buddhya vedya manavadya mastiyasem brahma tattvamasi bhavayatmani. Shadbihi urmibihi ayogi. The word urmi, that literally means a wave in ocean, a large wave, and in this context it means pain, sorrows in human life. It's a symbolism. Our samsara, that is compared to a vast ocean. and the consequent confusions and the consequent sanchita, agami, prarabdha, karma. And in that ocean of samsara, we are all floating. And if it is maybe a Pacific Ocean, then you know it's called Shanta Samudraha. Pacific Ocean, very peaceful. We may enjoy floating perhaps. But the problem is what? It is not so. It is violent. Tidal waves are there, very agitated, tossing me all over. Thus, helplessly tormented by or afflicted by the waves. Shankaracharya says, every human being goes through all these sufferings. And there are infinite waves also. But the main waves are shed, are six. Even though there are so many waves, there are six main waves. Shad Urmihi. And that is given actually in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad or the Shad Urmihi. Yaha Ashanaya Pipase Shokam Moham Jaram Mrityum Atyeti. That is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, third chapter. So there is a this is called Kahola Brahmanam. So that is where it is given here. So Asanaya Pipasa. Asanaya, hunger and thirst. There is the first two Urmis. Because due to hunger and thirst alone, we have a big chunk of life dedicated to that. Imagine we don't have these two. There is no hunger and no thirst. As Shankaracharya says, Udara Nimittam Bahukrita Veshaha. Almost 50% of the time, we bother about these two only. Or the old age, who will feed me, son or daughter, who will feed me? And so I want to provide for that. Unfortunately, I don't know how long will I live after retirement. At least if there is an advance notice, 25 years, whatever it is, I may perhaps get prepared. Even that's not possible. So at the Annamaya Kosha level, there are so hunger and thirst, they are the grossest form of samsara at the level of Pranamaya Kosha. And at the Annamaya Kosha level, there are two pains. One is jara, another is mrityu. Old age, jara, and mrityu, death. It is also another constant fear. Jara, mrityu, so annamaya kosha urmi, and asanaya pipasam, and pranamaya kosha urmi. Then shokam mohancha, sorrow and conflict, confusion, at the manomaya level and vijnanamaya level. We can combine them both here. So all types of grief is shoka, and all types of conflicts, they are all moha. To do it or not to do it, to be or not to be, what? All those. So these six, they are all considered as Shad Urmihi, which are universal for everybody. And what is the glory of Brahman? He does not have all these at all. Shad Urmi, he doesn't have. So Shad Bihi, Urmi Bihi, Ayogi. Ayogi means not connected. Asambaddha, Ayogi. Yuj, Yuj means is to be united or connected. And ayogi means not connected, not suffering from any of those. And yogi hrit bhavitam. Yogi hrit bhavitam is one word. So bhavitam is meditated, jatam, meditated. Meditated where? Yogi hrit, in the heart of the yogi. In the heart of the yogi is jnanis. It is not ashtanga yogi. You have to be careful. They do not accept advaitam at all. Ashtanga yoga, they don't accept advaitam at all. They are dvaitins. So here, yogi means what? Vedanti bihi, vaidikaihi, bhavitam. Where it is invoked? Krit bhavitam, in the mind. As what? As the sakshi of the presence and absence of thoughts. Even though consciousness is all pervading, the invocation of consciousness is done where? In the mind only. Just like the all-pervading Lord is invoked in the Shivalinga or in the Shalagrama. Similarly, the all-pervading consciousness is invoked in the mind. In what form? Not as the mind, not even as the thoughts, but as the witness of their presence and the absence, the presence and absence of thoughts. Vritti bhava abhava sakshi rupena bhavitam. And who is the sakshi? Myself. So, Atma Rupena Bhavitam. And Na Karanaihi Vibhavitam. At the same time, it is not available for any instrument of knowledge. Karanam. Karanam means instrument, mind or sense organs. then if it is not objectified, how are you going to meditate upon that? Because he is asking us to meditate upon that. If it is not objectified, how can we meditate? By meditation, we don't mean objectification, but owning up of the thoughts, that is called meditation. Our thoughts are not, you know, illumining Brahman, but in the form of owning up the ever-evident consciousness as ourselves. Therefore, there is only owning up thoughts, not objectifying thoughts. Then buddhi avedyam. It is not an object of the intellect also, buddhi. Intellect also does not objectify Brahman. On the other hand, intellect itself is known because of Brahman. Yen manasa namanute, yena ahuhu manomatham. If intellect cannot objectify, why do you use intellect? Again the same answer. Intellect is not used for illumining Brahman. It is purely used for owning up of the fact that this ever-evident consciousness is Brahman, which is myself. Therefore, buddhi avedyam. Technically, it's called vritti vyapti. Technically, it is called owning up. Objectification is called pala vyapti in Vedanta. And there is no pala vyapti, but there is only vritti vyapti, owning up. Aham Brahma asti, that knowledge. And anavadyam asti, avadyam. Avadya means doshaha, literally means unspeakable. Vad means to speak. Vadyam means speakable. Avadyam means unspeakable. Any evil or any dosha is unspeakable, avadyam. And anavadyam, free from doshas. So the final meaning is what? Anavadyam is shuddham. Final meaning is shuddham. Therefore only it is worth warning up because it is shuddham. So it is worth warning up. So nirdosham hi samam brahma tasmat brahmanite sthitaha. In the Gita 5th chapter, Krishna beautifully says Brahman is worth warning up because it does not have any doshas or any problems. And anything one gets associated with other than Brahman, one has to pay the price. Because Brahman alone is nirdoshaha. All others have some dosha or the other. So if one associates with any of the other things other than Brahman, then one has to pay the price. And if one says, I don't mind associating with or I want to associate it with all of them, then what the Vedantin will say? Wish you all the very best. Vedantin is one who never wants to either force or insist on anything to anybody. If you are comfortable with identifying with the body, accept old age, separation, death and all of them. If one can accept all these and happily live, then they don't need Vedanta. We will even discourage them from studying Vedanta. But when a person cannot stand the problem caused by my finitude, my separation, old age, all that, then better come to Vedanta. We will say, try Vedanta. Therefore, anavadyam. Vedanta solves the problem. That is the experience of every serious student who has used it. Therefore, anavadyam asti yate. That Brahman, tvam asi, you are. You are that Brahman. Iti bhavaya atmani. Thus may you meditate in your mind. So that's what Shankaracharya says. We will continue with the rest of the discussion in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishthitah tasya prakriti leenasya parasamaheshwarah shri krishna arpanam narayana.